If you have a Bible with you this morning, I hope you do, I want you to open it to Psalm 23. I have a message for the new year. As we close out the old year and we look ahead to the coming new year, we want to face the future with confident faith in our good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 23, one of the greatest chapters in the Bible. Everyone loves and knows the 23rd Psalm. It's one of the greatest pieces of literature and chapters in the Bible. And I want to do just a survey of these six verses and apply them to our lives as we enter into this new year. The title of my message is Facing the Future. Facing the Future, Psalm 23. And I want you to join me, would you please, in a word of prayer. Father, thank you for your word. I thank you for this church and for what you're doing in our church. For all those that have come today to hear what you have to say, I pray that as we end this old year and we enter into this new year that lies ahead of us, Lord, that we might take your hand and follow confidently, that you will not forsake us, that we can have faith and trust. And Lord, we don't know what the year holds, but we know who holds the year. And we can trust you. And Lord, I pray that each one here today would come to complete trust, complete faith in you, their shepherd. If any are here that don't know you as their shepherd, that today they might submit to you and entrust their lives to you as their shepherd, Lord. And we ask it in Jesus' name, and everyone agreeing said, amen. I want you to follow with me in your Bible, beginning in verse 1, Psalm 23. David said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul, and he leads me in the paths of righteousness, or righteous paths for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy," or loving kindness, "shall follow me all the days of my life." And David said, "I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." One of the most anxiety-producing factors is facing the new year with uncertainty of what it holds. And many of us today, as we look back at the old year and we look ahead at the new year, are no doubt filled with some uncertain fears. We're wondering, will my marriage survive? And will I keep my house? Will I lose my job? Am I going to lose my health? I'm wondering maybe what's going on in my body, and I don't know if my health is going to go or what's going to happen. Maybe you've been diagnosed with cancer and you don't know what the future holds. And the future seems uncertain. Psalm 23 is for you this morning. Psalm 23 is a psalm of confidence and hope. Someone described it as a nightingale singing in the dark night. How many saints have been comforted and encouraged by this precious Psalm 23? Psalm 23 was written about 3,000 years ago, but it's as fresh as if it were penned this morning. Now, the theme of the psalm is verse 1, and I love verse 1. In verse 1, David said, "The Lord," or Jehovah, "is my shepherd, I shall not want." Now, I've always loved Kenneth Taylor's paraphrase of verse 1. He's written what's called the Living Bible. It's actually a paraphrase. When I was a young Christian, I read the Living Bible. It really ministered to me. And in Kenneth Taylor's paraphrase of Psalm 23, verse 1, it reads, "The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need." I love that. The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything. Everything I need. You know, if nothing else this morning, if you just take that into the new year, what more do you need, right? The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. As you go into 2013, if the Lord is your shepherd, guess what? You have everything you need, right? You may not have a high-paying job. You may not have a nice house. You may not be getting along in your marriage. You may not be getting smooth sailing. But if the Lord is your shepherd, you have everything you need for life and for death and for eternity. And if you were going to give the psalm 3 points, that's the 3 points you would need, you would find in the psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need for life, for death, and for eternity. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want in life. I shall not want in death. And I shall not want in eternity, because the Lord is my shepherd. Now, who is this Lord who is my shepherd? In the New Testament, John chapter 10, Jesus says these words, I am the good, what? Shepherd. Some of you know the verse. In the Greek, it actually reads like this, John 10, I am the shepherd, the good one. I like that. Jesus actually, in contrast to the bad shepherds, I am the shepherd, the good one. There's bad ones, and I am the good one. I am the shepherd, the good one. Jesus used 7 in John's gospel, what are called the I am statements. I am the way, the truth, the light. I am the bread of God which comes down from heaven. I am the door. I am the water of life. And so he said, I am the good shepherd. Now remember, in the Old Testament, when Moses was at the burning bush and God called him to go to Pharaoh and command the release of God's people. And Moses asked God, speaking through the burning bush, who am I going to tell the people of Israel I'm being sent by? And God said, you tell them, I am hath sent you. Remember that? Every time Jesus used that statement, I am the way, the truth, I am the door, I am the good shepherd, he was actually laying claim to be the eternal Jehovah, the eternal God of the Old Testament. He is the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. And in Psalm 23, when you read in verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, you have in the Hebrew what is known as a compound name of God. In the Hebrew, it is actually Jehovah Raha, the Lord my shepherd. It is Jehovah Raha, the Lord my shepherd. And the idea of Jehovah is the great I am, the becoming one. God becomes whatever it is you need. We have the compound names of God, Jehovah Shalom. God is my peace. Jehovah Tsidkenu. God is my righteousness. Jehovah Nesse. God is my banner. So whatever it is you need, God becomes. Now, if God is my Raha, my shepherd, what does that imply? It implies that I am his what? Sheep. Guess what? Sheep are dumb. I just wanted to encourage you. Sheep are dumb. Yes, they're cute when they're little and clean, but they don't stay little and clean. They get big, they are dumb, and they are dirty. Big, dumb, dirty animals. I just wanted to encourage you. If Jehovah is our shepherd, we are his sheep, and sheep are big, dumb, dirty animals. We need a shepherd. I need a shepherd. You need a shepherd. We need to flock together for the coming new year. And we need a shepherd. We can't do it alone. We'll be devoured by the wolf. So we need to flock together. We need to look to our shepherd. We need to trust our shepherd to lead us and to guide us into this new year. And the Lord Jesus Christ is our shepherd, and he is the good one. Now, there are six things I want to point out in this psalm that the Lord Jesus, as our shepherd, will provide in this coming year. If you're taking notes, you can write them down. The first thing he will provide for us is rest and refreshment. I want you to see that in verse 2. Rest and refreshment. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Many times the sheep needed to be forced to lie down in green pastures. In the Hebrew, this is pastures of green. And still waters is in the Hebrew, waters of rest. So he makes me to lie down by green pastures or restful pastures, and he leads me beside waters of resting. Now, in the Middle East, there's little grass and very little water. So the sheep are greatly dependent upon their shepherd to do what? To seek out and to find pasture lands. Very dry, very arid. So the pasture lands have to be sought out by the shepherd. You have to go up the canyons, up into the high plateaus, to the greener areas where it rains, and you have to find the springs and the watery areas, the green areas, and the sheep are dependent upon the shepherd to find the green areas, to find the pastures so that they can graze and so they can eat. Now, the spiritual application is Jesus leads us to green pastures and he brings rest for our souls. Sheep actually cannot rest unless they are fed, they have food, unless they are free from fear and worry. If there's a wolf around, if there's a predator around, if the sheep are agitated, they can't rest. And so God has to take away our fears, and he has to feed us. So we have to have food and rest to have rest for our souls. Now, I believe this ties in with Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, where Jesus gives this promise. He says, "Come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you" what? Rest. I love those words from the lips of our Lord Jesus Christ. Those are some of the most precious words that ever came out of the mouth of the Lord Jesus. "Come to me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly, and you will find rest." Where? For your souls. "For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." The great Saint Augustine said that we were made for God and our souls are restless until they find their rest in God. The wicked are like the troubled sea. They have no rest until they find God, and they come to God and they find rest in God. And if you're here today and you haven't come to Jesus Christ and found your rest in him, you need to come to him today. And you need to feed on him today. He'll take away your fears today, and you can find rest for your soul today. And as you go into this coming year, you don't have to worry about the economy. You don't have to worry about your health. You don't have to worry about your marriage. You don't have to worry about your children. You don't have to worry about your job. You don't have to worry. Hey, all your fears, all your phobias, all your concerns about the uncertain future can be taken away. Faith and fear are mutually exclusive. If you're trusting the Lord, you don't need to be afraid. And if the good shepherd is watching over you, you can go into that new year without any fears. So what I believe is that we enter into this new year when the Lord, our shepherd, he gives us rest and refreshment. We don't have to be afraid. The second thing we see in verse 3 is that he gives us restoration as our shepherd. Notice in verse 3, he restores our soul. He restores my soul. He restores my soul. So he rests my soul, and he restores my soul. Do you know that if a sheep eats too much and then lies down, that his equilibrium can actually shift to a point where the sheep can actually become what's called a cast sheep, and his feet get sticking up in the air, and the sheep cannot get back on its feet? Philip Keller, in his excellent book, if you've never read his book, it's called A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. Philip Keller was a shepherd in New Zealand. I've made multiple trips to New Zealand, preached there many, many times. It's my favorite place in all the world to go to, New Zealand. It's the most beautiful place in the world. They have more sheep in New Zealand than they do people. Everywhere you go in New Zealand, just sheep everywhere. It's just gorgeous, breathtaking beauty everywhere you go in New Zealand. But if a sheep eats too much and lays down and kind of lays on its side, kind of like a what happens to people. You lay over on your side, you can't get up. I was over at a friend's house one time years ago, and I ate too much spaghetti, and I had to spend the night. I ate all this spaghetti. It was good. It was really good spaghetti. I couldn't stop. I just, man, this is good spaghetti. I just kept eating it. And I just went and sat on the couch and said, dude, I'm spending the night. Because I can't drive. It's dangerous to drive in this condition. You know? I literally spent the night at the guy's house. I couldn't drive home, man. And it's like I was a cast sheep, you know. I couldn't go anywhere. But a sheep will get on its back, its legs sticking up, and baa, baa, baa. And the shepherd hears the bleating of the sheep, and it comes running to its aid. And it has to put its on its feet, and it straddles the sheep, and it massages its legs and gets the blood circulating and helps the sheep to get back going again. And if the shepherd doesn't come to the rescue of the sheep, it will die. It's a cast sheep. And it could be this imagery that David has in his mind. He restores my soul. And David said in Psalm, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. There are times that we stumble and we fall into sin, and God has to come to our rescue. We've been studying the life of David on Wednesday night, and we know that David committed adultery with Bathsheba. And in order to cover his sin, as often one sin leads to another, David then murdered her husband Uriah and tried to cover his sin. The Bible tells us, be sure your sin will find you out. And David had a visit from Nathan the prophet, and his sin was exposed. And then David finally confessed his sin, and God cleansed his sin. And David wrote about that time, that whole year when David was living with unconfessed sin in Psalm 32. He said, my moisture was turned into the drought of summer. He said in Psalm 32, thy hand was heavy upon me. And then he wrote in Psalm 51, when he talked about the repentance that he had before God, he said, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. All of those things that he lost because of his sin, he wanted God to restore and to bring back into his life. I know that as I go into this year, I will stumble and I will fall. But my good shepherd will forgive me of my sin. He will restore me and come to my aid. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Jesus told a parable in Luke chapter 15 of the good shepherd that leaves the 99. He has 100 sheep. And if one goes astray, he leaves the 99 and he goes after the one lost sheep. And he finds it and he puts it on his shoulders. And he comes back rejoicing that one lost sheep has been found. I'm like that one lost sheep. I go astray, but the Lord loves me and he seeks me out and he finds me and he brings me back and he restores me. He gives me rest and refreshment and restoration. And thirdly, verse 3, he gives me righteous paths to follow in. It says in verse 3, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So he gives me rest, he gives me refreshment, he gives me restoration, and in verse 3, he gives me righteous paths to follow in. Sheep have no sense of direction. Sheep have no sense of direction. They will get lost. They need to follow the shepherd. They need to follow directions from the shepherd. So the Lord, our shepherd, gives us rest and restoration so he can lead us, not to pamper us, but to follow his righteous paths. Now, how do we know the paths that God wants us to follow in? What are the righteous paths, verse 3, that he wants us to follow in? The answer is what? The Word of God. Amen? God's Word, the Bible, this coming year, make God's Word your pattern to follow for your personal, individual lives. Make a commitment. I've already run into several people to say, you have any New Year's resolutions for the year? By the way, I don't. But a great New Year's resolution is, Lord, by your grace. And a New Year's resolution is kind of just trusting in yourself. A New Year's resolution, Lord, by your grace and with your help, you know, I'll do this. I went to the gym the other day, 10,000 people there, you know. I said, wow, it doesn't take long. The first of the year, everybody's there. And in 2 weeks, they'll all be gone. But what a great time to say, Lord, this year, I want to recommit to reading every day, feeding every day upon your word. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. You're not going to know what those paths are if you don't read your Bible. God's paths are laid out in his word. You want to know what the will of God is for you? It's given to you in his word. You discover the will of God in the word of God. Feed on God's word daily. Know God's word for your marriage, for your parenting, for your job. Understand God's word. You know God's will. Secondly, you find the righteous paths of God's word through prayer. Spend time praying. Recommit this time, this coming year, to prayer. Say, Lord, I want to spend more time in prayer. What a great New Year's resolution. Say, Lord, this year, I've kind of slacked off in my prayer life, my devotions. I haven't really taken the time to talk to you and to pray to you, to turn the television off. I spend so much time in front of the TV or doing this or doing that or my hobby or other pursuits. I need to spend more time in the Word of God and praying to God. And then we can also spend time just yielding to the Holy Spirit's power. Saying, Lord, I want your Spirit to fill me and empower me. And I want to surrender for your glory. Notice in verse 3, for his name's sake. Why does he lead us in paths of righteousness? Not for our sake, but for his name's sake, for his glory. God wants to lead us in righteous paths. But there's a fourth thing that God wants to give us this year as our shepherd, and that's in verse 4. His comfort through trials and troubles and difficulties. His comfort. Notice in verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they what? They comfort me. So you and I as God's people or God's sheep of his pasture, we can have freedom from fear. Sheep are dumb, sheep lack direction, and sheep are fearful or timid. One of the most timid creatures on planet Earth are sheep. When you think of sheep, you don't think of brave, courageous, strong, ferocious animals, do you? Who would ever name a football team the sheep? Why are you laughing? I mean, we have football teams named the Lions, the Bears. But can you imagine the sheep? What a joke. If you're hiking through the woods at night, you know, and it's dark and you're, bah, bah. Oh, no. There's a sheep out there. We might be eaten alive. You don't freak out. No one's afraid of a sheep. I mean, it doesn't really strike fear in your heart to think of a lamb or anything like that. They're timid, freaked out little creatures. But David said, even if I'm walking, and in the Hebrew, I don't mean to mess up this psalm for you, but in the Hebrew, the word death does not appear in that verse. It's not, yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death. In the Hebrew, it's, though I walk through the valley of deepest darkness. Could it be that David's talking about death? Yes. So we put the word death in there, but in the Hebrew, it's just valley of deepest darkness. That's why we read this psalm at gravesides and at funerals, but we don't know that David is really talking about death. He's talking about a deep, dark valley. And when the shepherd leads the sheep through deep, dark valleys, the sheep don't want to go, because the shadow's being cast through the valley and they're timid and they're shy. So the shepherd many times will have to pick up a little lamb, and he has to walk out in front of the flock. And with that little lamb in his arm out in front of the flock, then he'll get the others to follow, because he goes before us. And you know, Jesus has actually died and risen again from the dead, and he's conquered death and gone before us, so we don't need to fear death or the grave. And if David's talking about death, we don't need to fear death. So as we go into this year, we can live because we don't need to fear death, and nor do we need to fear trials, troubles, or tribulation or difficulties. And a church this size, I can guarantee you, some of us in this congregation are going to face trouble. Some of you are going to face tribulation and adversity. There are going to be people get sick and lose their job and face adversity and trials. But don't forget, the Lord is your shepherd. You have everything you need. You don't need to be afraid. Storms will come, but if the Lord is your shepherd, you have everything that you need. Amen? You don't need to be afraid. And he comes to comfort us. Notice in this verse, verse 4, there are two things. You have his presence, thou art with me. You have his protection, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Every one of us as his sheep have his presence. If Jesus goes with me, I don't need to be afraid. Jesus said, yea, I am with you always, even to the ends of the world. He will never leave us. He will never what? Forsake us. I am never alone. He's always with me. David Livingston, the great missionary to Africa, had been mauled by lions and his arm lay limp on his side. He went back to his old alma mater, Haro, and he was lecturing to the students, and someone asked him what helped him sustain him through those dark years in Africa and kept him going. And he said, it's that promise of Jesus, lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the age. And what a wonderful thing it is to know that God is with us, that we're never alone. God is with you. We have his presence. And David said in the Psalms, I don't need to be afraid because you are with me. And then he said, secondly, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now, the rod was like a club. It was used to beat off predators that would threaten the sheep. So God is going to protect us from Satan. And then there's the staff. The staff was used to guide and direct and control the sheep, so we don't need to be afraid. God is with us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, it says, blessed be the God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them with the comfort wherewith we are comforted of God. So all the comfort that God gives us, we in turn can give to others, because of the comfort that God has given us. So whatever valley of deep darkness that you may be allowed by God to pass through this coming year, God will give you his presence and his protection. But there's a fifth thing that our shepherd provides for us this coming year. I want you to see it in verse 5, and that is his provision. His provision. Notice verse 5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil, as the shepherd would pour oil on the sheep to protect them. Thou anoint my head with oil, and my cup runs over. Now the image changes from the Lord my shepherd, Jehovah Raha, to the Lord my host or provider, Jehovah Jireh. Notice the image now changes. Do you ever notice that in the psalm? You have the Lord my shepherd to the Lord my host. He's now sitting at a table, and he comes into the banqueting table, and the Lord anoints his head with oil. Every Middle East guest, when you would come to their house, they would point oil on your head. It was customary. Then you would sit at their table, they would fill your cup, and they would provide you with food. So now it's Jehovah Jireh. The Lord is my provider. You know that compound name of God, Jehovah Jireh, God provides, comes from Genesis 22, where Abraham offered his son Isaac on Mount Moriah as a sacrifice. Although he didn't have to offer him, God substituted a ram instead. But when Abraham was told by God to offer his son, and God said, you know, or God's son Isaac says, where's the sacrifice? Abraham actually said to his son, God will provide a sacrifice. He said these words, Jehovah Jireh, God will provide. He used the word Jehovah Jireh. Now listen very carefully. That phrase literally means in its origin, Jehovah sees or God sees. Jehovah Jireh means God sees. Whenever God sees, God provides. So the term Jehovah Jireh came to mean God will provide. But it's in its origin, it means God sees, and then it came to mean God provides. So this is how it works. Wherever there is God vision, there is God provision. God sees, God provides. Guess what? God sees everything. Don't you forget it. When you open your wallet and there ain't no money in it, God sees. When I open my wallet, there very rarely is any money in it. And I go, God, do you see that? Jehovah Jireh, God sees. When you open your checkbook and there's no balance left in there, Jehovah Jireh, do you see that? God sees. When you're going through a time of difficulty, you know, does God see what's going on down here? Does God really know? God sees. It's like God vision, God provision. It actually went like this. God vision, God will see to it. That's what the word means. God will see to it. And it came to mean God will provide. God will provide. I don't know about you, but as I go into this new year, I'm thinking of that. Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Jireh. That God will provide for this church. That God will provide for my life and for your life and for our lives. Amen? God is our provider. God is our provider. We don't look to man, we look to God. You know, if you look to God, you get what God can do. If you look to man, you get what man can do. If you look to God, you get what God can do. Our faith, our trust, our hope must be in God. And so God will provide. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Jesus said it like this, Matthew 6, don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about what you're going to drink. Life is more than food. The body is more than clothes. All of the pagans, the heathens, they worry about those things. Consider the birds. They don't sow, they don't toil, they don't reap, they don't gather in the barns. Yet your Father in heaven provides for them. You are of much more value than many sparrows. Seek first the kingdom of God, Matthew 6:33, and all these other things shall be added unto you. Sufficient for the day is the evil thereof. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. My favorite verse at the beginning of a new year is Matthew 6:33. That's every year, at the beginning of a new year, my favorite verse, Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That should be our passion, seeking first the kingdom of God, and God will provide. God will take care of us. But there's one last thing that God the shepherd will take care of, and that's in verse 6. He will take care of our eternal home, our future. Notice it in verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all of the days of my life. That's pretty cool. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord for how long? Forever. Goodness and mercy. I've always thought it'd be good to get a couple of dogs and name them one goodness and one mercy. And train them to follow you everywhere you go. Wouldn't that be cool? Everywhere you go, you got goodness and mercy following you, you know? Come on, goodness, mercy, let's go. And every time you look back, you got goodness and mercy following you everywhere you go. All this and heaven too. If the Lord is your shepherd, I have everything I need in life, in death, and eternity. All this in heaven too. I shall not want. Now, two little words in that verse 6 that really blow my mind. Surely, he says surely in verse 6. And then he says, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And then he says, I will dwell in the household. Not I hope to, not maybe if I'm lucky. Oh, I really hope I get to go to heaven when I die. Surely indicates David's confident faith. And then David said, I will dwell in the house of the Lord. What's the house of the Lord? Heaven. How can David be so sure, so confident that when he died, he would be in heaven? The answer, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. The sweetest word in all of the psalm is the word my in verse 1. My shepherd, my shepherd. If he's not a shepherd to someone else or anyone else, he is a shepherd to me. He is my shepherd. Question this morning, is he your shepherd? Have you trusted him? Have you put your faith in him? Have you surrendered your life to him? Have you invited Jesus Christ to come into your heart? Have you surrendered your heart and life to him? Have you received him as your Lord and Savior? Is Jesus Christ your shepherd? Have you submitted to him as the shepherd of your soul? He died on the cross for your sins. He rose again from the dead. Has he become the bishop or the shepherd of your soul? When you can say, the Lord is your shepherd, verse 1, then and only then can you say, verse 6, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And only if the Lord is your shepherd, only if the Lord is your shepherd, can you say, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever? If the Lord is not your shepherd, then you have no assurance, no confidence that you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Someone put in a beautiful poem, "I know not what awaits me as dawns another year. The path untrod I cannot see, yet knows my heart no fear. I know not whether long or short my pilgrimage will be, but I'll daily praise my God in song for all his love for me. With joy I greet the year. It cannot bring me ill, since Christ my Lord is ever near, my soul with peace to fill." Let's pray. Father, thank you that you love us, that you gave us Jesus to be our shepherd, and we submit to him today as the good shepherd of our soul. We don't need to fear life, we don't need to fear death, and we don't need to fear eternity. That you will give us rest and refreshment, that you will give us restoration if we sin and we fall, that you will give us, Lord, provision, that you will lead us in righteous paths, and Lord, that you will give us provision. Lord, I pray that any that are worried and concerned and fretting, Lord, help them to know that you are the good shepherd, that you will not abandon us, that you will provide for us. You will anoint our head with oil. And Lord, that when we pass through the valley of deepest darkness, that we have your presence and your protection. You are with us in the deepest, darkest valleys. I pray for any that are passing through the valley right now, Lord, and they don't see you, they don't feel you, they don't sense your presence right now, Lord, that they would live by faith and know that you are with them, that you've promised never to leave them or forsake them. Lord, as we enter this new year, help us to remember that you're with us and that nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Thank you for your protection. Thank you, Lord, that you protect us, that nothing can touch us or hurt us but what it has to pass through you. Protect our marriages, protect our families, our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren. Protect this church. Preserve its testimony. Be glorified and honored in this ministry. As we enter into this new year, Lord, we pray that you would use us to reach our community, those that do not know you. Lord, that you would provide for this church, that you would guide this church, that you would be glorified in this church, that your presence would always be felt in this church, that your word would always be faithfully preached in this church and proclaimed in this church, that you would be glorified in this church and honored in this church and magnified in this church, and that Jesus would be lifted high in this church. Lord, we love you, we praise you, we thank you for all you're doing. And we enter this new year with great, great confidence. You're a great God. You're an awesome God. We believe that we're living in the last days and that you're coming soon. The world is getting darker, but our hope is getting brighter. So, Lord, help us to proclaim and to live righteously. To not pull back, Lord, but to live in faith and hope and confidence and trust in you as you're our good shepherd. We thank you. We praise you. We love you. We worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone agreeing said, amen.